Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of our English feature program dedicated to Pope Benedict's pastoral visit to Sydney, Australia for the celebration of World Youth Day 2008. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up in just a moment, how to be witnesses in our modern world. Pope Benedict urges young pilgrims to believe in the power of the Spirit of Love. The pain of sexual abuse. The Pope makes a heartfelt apology for the pain and suffering of victims. And Putting Faith into Action, an exhibition by Caritas at World Youth Day, highlights the need for practical Christian commitment. Stay tuned.
Believe in the whisperings of God to your heart. Believe in Him. Believe in the power of the Spirit of Love.
Believe in the power of the Spirit of Love. Those were the words of the young Mary MacKillop, one of the patrons of this World Youth Day 2008, on track to become Australia's first saint. And they were also the words of Pope Benedict XVI at the end of a two-hour-long vigil with several hundred thousand young pilgrims gathered in Sydney's Randwick Racecourse on Saturday to celebrate World Youth Day 2008. The vigil, made up of music and dance, personal testimonies, papal teaching, and adoration of the Eucharist, marked the penultimate event of World Youth Day. And though the Pope retired to Cathedral House afterwards, most of the young people spent the night out under the stars in anticipation of the final Mass to be celebrated by the Pope at the same venue on Sunday morning. Throughout the day on Saturday, young people had been gathering on the grass at Randwick, where both Pope John Paul II and Pope Paul VI had also celebrated Mass during their visits to Australia in past decades. Various choirs, singers and rock bands had been on hand to entertain the enthusiastic crowds all day, but the start of the vigil was marked in a more reflective tone with a moving liturgical dance by the Sydney Youth Ballet, carrying lamps to light the darkness that had descended on the city. Sean Patrick Lovett is travelling with Pope Benedict in Sydney. He reports on this penultimate stage of the World Youth Day pilgrimage.
The so-called pilgrimage walk began at 5 o'clock on Saturday morning. That's when tens of thousands of young people started trickling across the Sydney Harbour Bridge. By lunchtime, the youthful flow had become an impenetrable flood. Their goal was Randwick Racecourse, venue of the evening vigil with the Pope. Their purpose was to spend time with the Holy Father, enjoy the great entertainment, dance, sing, yell until they were hoarse, and eventually even get some sleep before Sunday morning's closing Mass. In a word, it was one big party.
Pilgrims of the world, welcome to the Southern Cross Precinct in Sydney, Australia, for the World Youth Day 2008 evening vigil with His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI.
So when almost 200,000 partying, singing, yelling young people fell absolutely silent during the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, the silence was truly deafening. It was just one of the more moving moments, including the candle lighting ritual, in an event that allowed the Pope his second opportunity to address the youth directly after his arrival speech on Super Holy Thursday.
Dear young people!
Benedict XVI took full advantage of this opportunity. He greeted the festive crowd in different languages and spoke to them at length about the Holy Spirit and what it means to be witnesses in a world where individuals and communities often suffer from an absence of unity.
Once again this evening we have heard Christ's great promise. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. and we have heard his sermons. Be my witnesses throughout the world.
The Holy Spirit, he said, quoting St. Augustine, is the bond of unity within the Blessed Trinity. Unity is communion, love, and giving.
This sharing in God's nature occurs in the unfolding of the everyday moments of our lives where he is always present.
The Pope went on to explain how communion sustains unity and fulfills human identity, how love is the sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and how God gives himself to us endlessly. In view of this ceaseless gift, he said, we come to see the folly of the consumerist mindset.
We begin to understand why the quest for novelty leaves us unsatisfied and wanting. Are we not looking for an eternal gift? The springs that will never run dry? With a Samaritan woman, let us exclaim, give me this water that I may thirst no more.
This, in essence, was the Pope's message to his young audience. Let unifying love be your measure, abiding love your challenge, self-giving love your mission. In accepting the power of the Holy Spirit, you too can transform your families, communities, and nations.
In the end, life is not about accumulation. It is much more than success. To be truly alive is to be transformed from within, open to the energy of God's love. Let wisdom, courage, awe and reverence be the marks of greatness. Amen.
Judging by the applause, it was a challenge the youth appeared to accept willingly. Meanwhile, as the Pope left the venue to return to St. Mary's Cathedral, where he's staying, a few of the young people crawled into their sleeping bags. Most of the others went back to just having fun. The long night at the racecourse was only just beginning. With the Pope in Australia, I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
Several hundred bishops and leaders of religious orders and congregations are also gathered with the Pope and the young people in Sydney. Among them is Abbot Christopher Jameson, head of the Benedictine community at Worth Abbey in the south of England. The Abbey became well known in the UK some years ago as the setting for an impressive BBC series entitled simply The Monastery. And Abbot Jameson has since written a best-selling book on spirituality called Finding Sanctuary. Whilst that first volume has been translated into some 11 languages, the follow-up, entitled Finding Happiness, is now due out in October. Abbot Jameson sat down with Sean in Sydney to discuss this journey of discovery that young pilgrims are drawn into at these World Youth Day gatherings.
It's about young people discovering that through the church they're part of something very much bigger than themselves. And secondly, discovering that the church is a fantastic school of peace. They're learning how to build relations with people of different cultures, often cultures that they might be at enmity with. And as the Holy Father said, the reconciliation between the indigenous peoples of Australia, the Aboriginals, and the European settlers of Australia, the reconciliation that's going on as we speak and that we've seen acted out in the great liturgies here, that's a model of peacemaking for the whole world, which the young people are learning from that model, as well as learning from the Christian faith. So I would say, in essence, it's a great school of peace for the youth of the world.
And then what happens when all these lovely, peaceful, inspiring young people go back home?
Well, we know from past experience that many of them will say that their lives were changed forever by the experience of being here. Some will find their vocation through being here, a vocation to marriage. I know one man who said to me, it was a World Youth Day that I realized I had to go back and propose to my girlfriend. Others will find a vocation to the priesthood. Others will find renewed energy to pursue the question, what is God calling me to do? So I think that very few people will go home unchanged, and through that, local church communities and local civic societies will be enriched.
In your own experience, you've just come from an experience Benedictine Youth Congress. What is it that young people are looking for? What is it they're asking from the church today?
I think they're looking for an authentic way of life. And by authentic, I mean one which has got two qualities. One which is believable now, but also one which has a historical authenticity. We know that people want everything to be very modern, but they also want something that they know has had a tried and testing period in history. And what we find, especially as Benedictines, we're the oldest religious order in the church. And this inspires them greatly to think that the values of early monks and nuns and the practices of early monks and nuns can be theirs. And they find them quite life-giving, to their surprise.
What's the role of the Pope in all of this? I mean, here we have the Pope sort of as the centrepiece of World Youth Day. Is he just added value?
Well, he's the one who issued the invitation, so that's the first point to become clear. Secondly, the Pope is here as a teacher. And I think we saw that for the papal arrival at Barangaroo, when we had this spectacularly organised and beautifully choreographed arrival on the boat through one of the world's great harbour settings. And then, if he'd been a rock star, he would have stood on the stage and said, "Hello, Sydney," and all of this clap, clap sort of stuff. But he didn't. He just waved, smiled, and sat down on the papal throne and taught in a very self-effacing, understated way. And the people, the young people, listened intently for half an hour while he taught, and then exploded with joy when he started greeting them in the different languages. So I'd say the key role of the Pope is to be the teacher.
And you think they're actually listening to what he's saying, apart from being carried away by the excitement of the moment and his presence and the superstar status that he has? Do you think they're actually picking up on the message? Because it's a very strong message, it's a very radical message that he's offering.
He's offering a very countercultural message, and I've heard video clip interviews and seen for myself young people here saying they know that the Catholic Church is now countercultural in so many different ways, and they can accept that. But I think perhaps what we ought to put alongside that is rather that what is being brought is an addition to culture. They're having a depth added to the culture they're living in, which will involve jettisoning certain superficial aspects of the culture and going more deeply into the culture, because it would be quite wrong to say that the Church is completely anti-cultural, because it has to absorb the best of culture and at the same time deepen that.
Give me some concrete examples of what you mean by jettisoning aspect. What sort of aspects of culture are we jettisoning here?
Well, I think that there is the immediate and there's the longer term. In the immediate aspect, there would be issues to do with the way that violence and sexuality are often portrayed for young people, and trying to get to jettisoning some of that to a deeper understanding of love and humanity. Second, if you look longer term, there is the issue of climate change, which the Pope has highlighted in his opening address, and where, with sort of a much deeper, longer reflection, we have as a culture, as a Western society especially, to learn which aspects of our way of life are going to have to go if we're to survive on the planet. And of course, already we can see how the Aboriginal culture of Australia, which is 40,000 years old, staggering figure, can teach us something about how to preserve a land. And there are huge lessons for us to learn from that culture, other indigenous cultures, and also from the Christian tradition of, say, the Sermon on the Mount, where our Lord asks for a purity of heart, which is going to be the basis, I think, of a new approach to the way we treat our planet.
How much of all this is in your new book?
Well, I talk about Finding Sanctuaries, the current book that's out there, which I'm delighted is on sale around the world. And the new book, Finding Happiness, Monastic Steps for a Fulfilling Life, will deal with greed and what the monastic tradition says about greed, and how in some ways greed lies at the heart of most of our contemporary problems, and that there are monastic steps, or steps from the monastic tradition, which we can all learn from.
Jesus, my Lord.
Abbot Christopher Jameson there, head of the Benedictine community at Worth Abbey in the south of England. But now let's hear from one of the young pilgrims in person. What is it that motivates so many hundreds of thousands of them to make what is, for many, a very expensive journey to the other side of the world to take part in World Youth Day events? Tracy McClure has been taking a closer look.
Young people have flown into Australia from all over the world to be able to celebrate World Youth Day with Pope Benedict XVI. Some have been preparing for the papal visit for more than 2 years, carrying out a pilgrimage on foot across 35,000 miles of Australian roadways. Others, like Eunice Villamir, a Canadian student from Vancouver, have been involved in Days in the Diocese events and activities in parishes across the country. I asked her how she managed to buy what must have been an expensive plane ticket and why she wanted to travel so far to see the Pope.
Well, I'm a student, so I had to fundraise a lot, and I was paying for it just because I didn't want my parents to pay for it, because this is kind of an experience that I wanted for myself. But we did a lot of fundraising at church, at our parish, and our parishioners at St. Patrick's, which is the parish that we're from, really supported us. And we put on a whole bunch of, like, dinner and dances and car washes and food sales after 9 o'clock Mass every Sunday. So, yeah, we had a lot of support from our parish, and our family was always there, too. They were, you know, promoting our events, and everyone was really into it. And it was good, too, because we got to get together as our World Youth Day group.
Why did you really want to come so much to be there with the Pope as he celebrates World Youth Day?
You know, when you're thinking about the things that you want to do in your life, or when I was thinking about the things that I wanted to do in my life, one of them was to see the Pope. Because you see the Pope on TV addressing, you know, the St. Peter's Square, but I don't think that I would ever imagine being able to see him where I live. So journeying from there to here to see the Pope was an awesome opportunity that I chose to grab.
Now, Eunice, you're a young person, and I'm sure, like so many other people who are there, you see young people today, perhaps your friends or people that you know, sometimes they're in crisis with doubts about themselves, about their future. What do you think young people today are looking for in the church, and perhaps from Pope Benedict?
I think that young people are very, or I guess people like me, are at points in their life where there's a lot of opportunities open and a lot of things that they can do. So I think that it's easy to get confused, and it's easy to choose maybe a path that wasn't the best one. And so I guess from the Pope and from the church, I think young people are looking for answers or opportunities that would make them better themselves, and opportunities that would make them be able to make better decisions, and I guess guidance to make better decisions as well. Just because, yeah, it's hard with all the things that you're getting surrounded by, and I think the church will be really good at leading us to the places where would be good for us in the future.
Canadian Eunice Villamere, one of tens of thousands of young people joining Pope Benedict in Sydney this weekend. I'm Tracy McClure.
On Saturday morning, meanwhile, Pope Benedict also presided at a Mass in St. Mary's Cathedral in Sydney with seminarians and novices preparing for ordination and religious life. The great Gothic cathedral is dedicated to Mary, Help of Christians, and it was here that Pope Benedict pronounced the words that many Australians had been waiting to hear, an apology for the sexual abuse by priests, which has had a devastating effect on so many individuals and families, as well as on the local church. Here's Sean Patrick Lovett again with the details of what Pope Benedict had to say.
Pain and redemption. The headline in this morning's Sydney Daily Telegraph had a prophetic ring about it. The words were referring specifically to the large colour photograph of the crucifixion from last night's Way of the Cross. But in reality, they sounded more like a comment on how the Catholic Church in Australia is experiencing these World Youth Days and the papal presence on its soil. Both these factors have brought the Church in this country under closer scrutiny than ever before. And not everything in the garden, as they say, is rosy. So there's no need for a crystal ball to predict the headline in tomorrow morning's newspapers. It's been the first question asked at every press conference I've attended here in Sydney since I arrived. When and how will the Pope address the issue of sexual abuse? Now we have the answer.
I am deeply sorry for the pain and suffering the victims have endured, and I assure them that as their pastor, I too share in their suffering. These misdeeds, which constitute so grave a betrayal of trust, deserve unequivocal condemnation. They have caused great pain and have damaged the Church's witness. I ask all of you to support and assist your bishops and to work together with them in combating this evil. Victims should receive compassion and care, and those responsible for these evils must be brought to justice. It is an urgent priority to promote a safe and more wholesome environment, especially for young people.
It was predictably appropriate that the timing would coincide with his meeting with bishops, seminarians, and religious. And it was highly symbolic that the place should be the Mother Cathedral Church of Australia, and during a mass that included the dedication of an altar. It was also predictable that the words used by the Pope would echo what he said when he was in the United States in April. Shame, betrayal, condemnation, evil, compassion, justice, healing, reconciliation. What was new was his use of the first person singular in a last-minute addition to his prepared text. I am deeply sorry for the pain and suffering the victims have endured, and I assure them that as their pastor, I too share their suffering. With the Pope in Australia, I'm Jean-Patrick Lovett.
World Youth Day, then, a pilgrimage of prayer and spiritual growth, a time to listen, learn and celebrate with Pope Benedict, the successor of St. Peter, but also, importantly, a time to put faith into action. That's the wake-up call from Caritas Internationalis, the Church's global confederation of aid and development agencies, which has taken over the Customs House on Sydney's Circular Quay this week with an exhibition on efforts to achieve the Millennium Development Goals, aiming to cut poverty, illness and illiteracy in the developing world by 2015. At the opening of that exhibition, correspondent Catherine Smybert caught up with the former Secretary-General of Caritas, Duncan McLaren, who emphasises the vital role that young people of faith can play in this struggle for social justice.
I think it's important to remind the kids that are here from all over the world that social justice is also at the centre of the Catholic faith. Catholic faith really is comprised of three things. One is worship, liturgy. The other is the preaching of the word and prayer. And the third thing is social justice. And what Caritas is doing is reminding the kids that are here to deepen their faith, that social justice is the very heart of their faith. This exhibition is on the Millennium Development Goals, which Kofi Annan described as a humanitarian agenda of the 21st century, dealing with poverty, HIV/AIDS, the imbalance of gender roles in the world, and basically trying to have poverty by 2015. So it's politically feasible to do this, but we're way behind with the goals. And what we need is the enthusiasm that's here amongst these children, amongst these young people. We need to harness that in order to get them to lobby the politicians who were in charge of the money in order to get the Millennium Development Goals really going. That's what it's about. And to see that as part of their faith, though, not to see it as something extra, but as the very heart of their faith, that social justice is there along with the other articles of faith.
Also on hand in Sydney this week to explain more about the work of Caritas is Confederation President Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga, Archbishop of Tegucigalpa in Honduras.
You know, we are a federation of 162 nations. Even in Russia, we have now Caritas. In places such as Iran, for instance, where nobody could imagine that this can take place, because Caritas is motivating the solidarity of the world, especially for trying to alleviate the sufferings of the world, especially poverty, hunger, illnesses, and trying that to build a more just world.
Obviously, this is quite a task ahead, and this is why we're here today at World Youth Day, holding the Millennium Development Goal exhibition in Customs House, is to try to actually make that difference. But what is the reality ahead of us?
Well, I am happy that you are emphasizing this, because I am afraid that at the speed we go, we are not going to achieve the Millennium Goals. And I will be very sad that this beautiful intention could lead only to words, empty words. Why? Because with the prices of oil, with the prices of food, now only in the last 2 months, I was talking to some persons of the World Bank, the number of poor in the world increased by 100 million. So it means it's necessary to take actions. And I appeal to the G8 nations, because in the hands of them is the realization of these Millennium Goals. You know, there was a summit of the FAO office of the United Nations in Rome recently, last month. It was a failure, because unfortunately there was no political will of destining more money to alleviate hunger in the world. And of course, for weapons there is money, for war there is money, but unfortunately to alleviate the sufferings of so many people in the world. And the big danger is that without social justice, it's almost impossible to have peace in the world. So we have to be more active, trying to make conscious of this for the future.
And young people have to take that role as well.
Yes, and this is why I celebrate that we are having this kind of activities during the World Youth Day. It's not only making noise and singing and celebrating. Of course, that is very important. But to take a taste of the reality, it's very important.
Catherine Smybert speaking there with the president of Caritas Internationales, Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga from Honduras, and earlier you heard the former Secretary General of Caritas, Duncan McLaren. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English programme for today. Join us again at this same time tomorrow for full details of the final Mass of World Youth Day, celebrated by Pope Benedict in Sydney, Australia. Don't forget you can find all our news and feature programmes on the internet. Look us up at www.vaticanradio.org. For now, stay tuned to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.